Greetings, friends and new listeners, and welcome to The Sound of Faith. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm excited to bring you today's devil-chasing message, Satan the Whistleblower. Masquerading as an authority over the people of God, he goes around blowing his whistle at us. You can't park here. You can't do this. You can't do that. He is a trespasser and can only usurp our God-given territory if we let him. You have authority over Satan the whistleblower.
The people of God are on fire today. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, this is a pew jumping anointing. If my dad, Brother Hardy, was here, he'd be jumping the pews by now. If you hadn't gotten it yet, you would get it when he got to you. Amen. All right, we're going to try. We're going to see if we can preach. We're going to look in Luke. I can't even see. I got so much anointing on me. Luke, the 10th chapter. We'll just see where the Lord takes us. How much we'll do. Anytime he wants to interject, we'll just let him have his way. Luke 10 and 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Let's look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. My God, he sent them forth 70, and he sent them out two at a time. And they came back. He said, now I want you to go, and wherever city, I'm going to come right after you and preach, but I want you to get them ready. And you come and preach the gospel, and you tell them the kingdom of God is coming your way. And he said, and you heal the sick. And they came back with joy. They came back with victory. My God, they were rejoicing. They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They had great success in casting out demons. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. But the Greek actually says, I was beholding. I was beholding. What is this? It's an imperfect tense in the Greek. And an imperfect tense means repetitive action in the past. Now think about that for a moment. We think of repetitive action as being present. But this tense means you look in the past, and in the past you see repetitive action. Something that was repeated over and over again in the past. And because the word is beheld, we might say saw, I saw. It means that the person who's seeing, in this case being Jesus, has a picture before him of repetitive action. He's seeing it happen over and over again, Satan falling from heaven. And he sees over and over and over again the 70 going out and demons coming out over here and over here. And these two went to this town and demons came out. And another two went to that town and the demons came out. And as they all went to all the towns that they went, demons kept coming out. You see, if it was a simple past tense, simple, I saw Satan fall, then it would be a snapshot. It happened one time, you took a picture, and that's it. But being the imperfect tense, it's like watching a video. It's like seeing a video of the devil coming out here, and the devil coming out there, and the demons coming out over here. Amen. Oh my God. And We know that it, the same verse is used by John in John 1:14, and he said, we beheld his glory full of grace and truth, and of his glory and grace have we all received grace upon grace. It's that same imperfect tense. We beheld his glory, because it doesn't just mean one time we beheld it. It means over and over again for 3.5 years, John and the other 11 disciples beheld the glory of the Messiah as he cast out devils, as he healed the sick, as he cleansed the leper, as he raised the dead. Over and over, they beheld his glory. And therefore, we can understand this, Luke 10:18, the same way. In other words, Jesus was saying, while you were casting out demons here, there, I was beholding their master, Satan, fall from heaven. In other words, every time the demons come out, Satan experiences his fall all over again. My God! Every time someone full of the Holy Ghost power casts a devil out, Satan experiences his fall all over again. My God! And may I point out to you something quite remarkable. This happened before the cross. This happened before Jesus paid the price on Calvary. This happened before he was raised up out of the tomb. This happened before God highly exalted his name. Before Paul wrote, and what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us when he raised up Christ from the dead? Not only out of the tomb, not just out of that sepulcher, but far above all principality and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that to come. Amen. It was before, we read in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, that because Jesus was obedient unto the Father, even to the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted his name and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, even Lucifer's knee, and every tongue shall confess, even Satan's tongue, that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of this happened even before this came to pass. My God, we're on the other side of the cross. They had total success at casting out demons and devils by the authority of Jesus' name. Let's look at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, somebody say nothing. Nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. And we know by now, but we'll say it for the sake of someone who doesn't know. The Greek word for behold, I give you power would be better translated authority. Exousia, I give you authority. And authority trumps power. Now, Satan has power in this world. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the god of this world. And he has power over people in this world that are in his kingdom. But he does not have power over God's children unless we let him. Amen. We have to forfeit our authority in order for him to have power. But we mitigate his power every time when we in faith use the name of Jesus. Use the authority that God's given us. And when we do not do that, Satan oversteps his boundaries and he invades our lives with trouble and problems. Amen? When we don't use our God-given authority, because Satan is a trespasser. He's got a lot of bad titles, but one of them is a trespasser. And he just looks for an opening to trespass. And he doesn't fight fair. When he came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he waited till Jesus had already fasted for 40 days. And his human body, which was just like your human body and mine, was feeling the effects of fasting. And he was hungry. And we know that Satan came and tempted him on three areas. And I'm not going to go through the temptation, but here's the point I want to make. When the temptation was ended, it says in Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from Jesus for a season. And that Greek word means for an opportune time. Or in other words, an opportunity. Because Satan never gives up. He's a trespasser. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't jump on you when you're feeling your spiritual muscles and you're flexing them. When you're high on the Holy Ghost. Amen. No, he waits till you're discouraged. He waits till you're down. He waits till something comes in your life that's oppressing you. Amen. Oh, he waits till you're sick in your body or maybe in the hospital. Or he waits, especially when you've been out of church a while. He waits till people have been out because of COVID-19 and they're home and they're alone and they're isolated and they're feeling depressed. That's when he comes. He sees an opportune time. Amen? Because he's a coward. And that's when he tries to jump on you. And that's why it's necessary, if you can, to attend services. And if you truly cannot, then watch it. Watch the service online. But I tell you what, you didn't get online when we just got here. My God, heaven was opened up a moment ago. I'm telling you, the glory of God was here a moment ago. I'm still shaking. What about you? But the point is you have to stay under the preaching of the word because you have to hear it. You can't just read it. You've got to hear the anointed word. And so he comes when you're weak, just like he did to Jesus. But Jesus immediately resisted him with the one weapon against which Satan has no defense. And that is to speak out loud the written word of God. When you speak the written word of God, Satan has no defense. All he's got are lies and false accusations against God. Amen. But when you speak the word of God, you expose his lie. You expose his strategy. And he may not go the first time. So don't get upset if the first time you speak back to the devil, he doesn't flee in that moment. You have to keep coming back at him. Jesus had to come back three times and say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Amen. So you have to keep speaking the word of God. And then when he flees from you, don't let your guard down because he's looking for another opening, opportune, another season that he can find to come back. Amen. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I've often explained this to you, but I'll explain it for someone who didn't hear it before. In the Greek, it's in the continual tense of the negative. So in other words, it means not just don't give place to the devil one time, but stop giving place to the devil. And it's in the negative, and what it really is saying is stop an action that's already in progress. Stop giving in place. Amen? I want to tell you a little story that I read in my devotional that I received from Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Maybe you've heard that name before. He's a Messianic rabbi. He's written powerful books like The Harbinger, and The Harbinger 2 is out right now. And I get a lot of nuggets from his ministry as a Messianic Jew. His ministry is fascinating to me. But this is a little story on a personal level, and I am going to share it with you because when I read it, it made an impact on my spirit, and I've never forgotten it. So anyway, he says that when he was a kid, his mother was parking her car on a residential street in Brooklyn, New York. when this old man with the mustache come running out. And he started doing this. He had a whistle. He started going. In other words, he was telling her, you can't park there. And this man did this all the time. When anybody tried to park in that particular parking spot, he would come running out, blasting his whistle. And so most people thought it meant it was illegal to park there. So they just went off and tried to find somewhere else to park. The truth was, it wasn't illegal to park there. And he had absolutely no authority to chase people away. But as long as he could convince them that they couldn't park there, they'd move their cars. If they believed him, they took off. Now, if they didn't believe him, they parked there anyway. And there was nothing he could do about it. He could blow his whistle all day long. No police were going to come and give them a ticket. Amen? And Satan has been blowing his whistle to a lot of God's people. And they have backed off a territory that belongs to them as God's child. But the devil has come running out doing this. And they backed away and given him that territory. Amen. You try to witness to your neighbor about the Lord, and here comes the devil. You can't do that. Amen. You try to tell somebody in your family and share the gospel with them, or on your job. Oh, try to share the gospel with someone on your own lunch break, and here comes the devil. We don't allow that around here. Amen. You personally try to take new ground in the spirit. You say, I'm coming down to one of the worst years we've ever known in our lifetimes, and I'm getting ready to go into a new year, and I'm going to mount up. I'm going to go higher than I've been in a long time. I am going to put more effort. I'm going to put more conviction into my prayer life. I'm going to do some fasting. Oh, wow. The devil will do this for on that one. Fasting? You don't want that territory. Amen? And so you say, I'm going to go up a little higher in the spirit. I'm going to study my Bible more. Yes, and I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to church. I'm going to put my Holy Ghost mask on and come to church. I'm going to put my hand sanitizer in my pocketbook and I'm coming to church. I'm going to sit where they tell me to sit and I'm coming to church. And some of you out there, you thought about it, but you never did it because the devil said, don't come to church. Now, I know some of you, and you know who you are. I understand that you should not come. But there's a lot of people that they're not coming out of fear. And the devil's blowing his whistle of fear. Every time they think about it, they get this feeling. And here's the devil. Amen? Don't give him any place he doesn't have any right to. Don't let him chase you off your God-given territory. Don't get shook up because you hear the devil blowing his whistle. Paul said, don't give Satan the advantage, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So you must respond immediately by speaking the word of God. And as soon as you hear Satan's whistle, as soon as you hear it, rebuke him in the authority of Jesus' name. Because the longer it takes you to open up your mouth and rebuke the devil, the more you give him the advantage over you. You know, I've told you before, when I injured my back and spent like 18 hours a day in bed, I was under severe attack, first of all, physically, but it really affected my whole life, emotionally and spiritually. And I would get in that bed and just clam up, roll up in a fetal position, clam up like I had spiritual lockjaw. And this only gave the devil more place to oppress me and vex me more, heap more things on me. Amen? And in my mind, I was thinking what I needed to do, but it's like I could not do it. I was so oppressed. But when I begin to really understand the power, the significance of the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God, and I begin to use that against the devil, I found my voice. I found my voice of faith. I found my voice of boldness. I found my voice of authority. And I began to rebuke the devil as soon as I felt his evil presence. And you got to do it too. Amen. When the devil comes to you blowing his whistle, you've got to find your voice of faith. Even if it's just a whisper, even if you only can get a whisper out, open your mouth and speak the word of God. And he will go. All right, without anybody looking in your Bible or looking on your phone, okay, who can tell me what James 4:7 says? Anybody without looking can tell me what James 4:7 says. Betty said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Everybody give Betty a clap offering. She got it right. Amen. And now you know that scripture, right? Because you love that one. Don't you use it? You just don't know where it is. It's time to learn where things are. Amen. Because saints of God, we love to say James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But Betty, you left out the front part of the scripture. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, don't point a finger at Betty, because you all do it. Amen? Come on. We say resist the devil. We forget that submit part. But you see, you got to understand that in order for the second part to work, you got to do the first part. Amen. You've got to submit yourself to God. And you know, that takes in a lot of things. We know what that means to submit to God. We got to be obedient to the word. We've got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when we're submitted to the word of God and the will of God, then when we resist the devil, he's going to flee. But make no mistake, the devil, he fears no one who's not walking in obedience. He's not afraid of Christians that are not walking in obedience. Amen. He has an advantage over them. So if we even backed up to the verse before, verse 6, James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we cannot resist Satan when God is resisting us. Yeah, that's a We cannot resist Satan successfully when God is resisting us for pride. But when we humble ourselves, God starts heaping on the grace. And when he heaps on the grace, you will stand. You can stand. No matter what the devil throws at you, you will stand because he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. All right, I'm going to give you a second chance, folks. Without looking in your Bible on your phone, who can tell me what 1 Peter 5:8 says? 1 Peter 5:8. Anybody? Okay, Rita. You are one before, you're 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's 5:7, but not 5:8. Okay, you should know this one. Be sober. be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the faith, even knowing that your brethren in the world, your sister in the world, are suffering the same afflictions that you're suffering. Amen? Now, this is another favorite of scriptures, but if we backed up to verse 6 and 7, and Rita already gave us 7, but let's go up to 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. See, they go together, for he cares for you. Now you can be sober and you can be vigilant. Amen? And you can stand against your adversary. You can resist him, and he will flee from you. So what is the message we're getting? We first must be submitted to God. And then when we're submitted to God, because we're walking in humility before the Lord, you know, to put that in a nutshell, you're walking in humility, therefore you're obeying God. You're going along with what his word says and his will says. And that is being humble under his mighty hand. You know, from time to time, the Lord does speak to me in dreams. When he gives me dreams that are specifically a message from him, they're usually very dramatic and very vivid. But once in a while, he'll just give me one word or a sentence right before I wake up, so that I will remember it. Because, you know, a lot of times you don't remember your dreams later when you wake up in the morning. But when he gives it to me, like, you know, moments almost before I'm awake, I remember those. And I know that it's a specific word for me. I'm thinking he gave this particular word back in around 2009, 2010, somewhere in there. And this is what I heard right as I was waking up. Walk softly before the Lord. Walk boldly before the enemy. Walk softly before the Lord. Walk boldly before the enemy. I've got to tell you that that made such a major impact. Obviously, we're in 2020 and I'm still talking about it. Amen. And I realized that I needed to walk softly before Jesus. I needed to walk in all humbleness of mind. I needed to walk in surrender to him. I needed to crucify Sharon's flesh. I need to crucify my ego. I needed to walk softly before the Lord. And when I walk softly before the Lord, something dramatic happens. I walk boldly before the enemy. Amen. When I'm walking in humility before the Lord, he puts some Holy Ghost power in my backbone. And I may have a weak backbone at times in the natural, but oh, in the spirit, he gives me a backbone and I can be bold against the adversary. I can walk boldly before Satan because I'm not walking in myself. I've got the Holy Spirit backing me up. Amen. And I walk boldly before him and he flees from me. And then I do tread upon the lion and the adder. I tread upon that dragon under my feet. I then tread upon the serpent and the scorpion over all the power of the enemy. And like the scripture says, the God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan's head under your heel. My God, when I'm walking softly before the Lord, amen, walking softly before him, when the devil comes after me and attacks me, I can rise up and I can tread him underfoot. Amen. That's what you have to do. Stay submitted to the Lord. And when the attack comes against you, then you will rise up strong. You know, it's a shame some of you didn't come this morning. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you. I'm going to call your name. He brought you before my mind. I hope you're watching because this message is for you. You've been struggling and struggling and you've been going, taking 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And 2 more forward and 1 step back. Enough of that already. Amen. And the Lord wants to deliver you. Amen.
Amen. What a Satan-stomping word, Satan the whistleblower. When Jesus sent forth 70 disciples to prepare the surrounding towns to receive his visitation, he told them to preach the kingdom of God and back it up with evidence, healing the sick, and they did. And they returned ecstatically informing Jesus that even the demons were subject to them in his name. Jesus' response may seem anticlimactic. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Until we understand that the Greek text actually means, I kept seeing Satan fall from heaven. Every time they cast out a demon, Jesus saw Satan fall all over again. And every time a Holy Spirit-filled child of God casts Satan out of their life, Satan has deja vu. He experiences his fall all over again. This animated, anointed message is available on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. And why not add this to your spiritual library today? Request SK220. Mail your love gift of $10 or more to Sound of Faith, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or go online to our e-store at soundoffaith.org, where you will find other messages of mine and my dad, R.G. Hardy. They're also available on MP3s. But to order by mail, send your minimum love gift of $10. Request SK220 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Saints, the rising postal cost eats up a large portion of your $10, so please prayerfully consider adding a larger love gift to your order. Thank you. God bless you. And until next time, Maranatha.